Let me try out. Ah, okay, it works. First of all, I'd like to thank you very much. I'm so glad to be with you this morning because I haven't been with you for almost 11 or 12 years. I left the church in 2005, January 1st. So it's been almost 12 years. And in the most of the last 10 years, we were in Europe as I forgot your name. Eddie introduced. We've been in Vienna and in Athens. I barely can remember a few words in German. And I remember a few words also in Greek. But they are all Greek to me. But I really appreciate in those years, for the last 9 years, your prayer support in our European ministry. So for that, I really appreciate Sally and myself. We appreciate your prayer support, even though you were still here, we were far away in the other part of the world. I have to admit that many a times we were frustrated in the ministry settings over there, but when we remember that there are many in our church, Contra Costa Gospel Church, who are praying for me, for my wife, for us, we were encouraged again. So we really appreciate the church and your support. Now this morning, of course, we are not going to report whatever we did in the last 9 years in Europe. We are having this mission emphasis week. We're here to talk about God's mission. Let's first think, what does this word missionary means? Sometimes we have fancy idea. Missionaries are those who went out or go out to far-reached lands and preach gospel to foreigners. Well, indeed, they are. But I think the simplest definition of a missionary is the one who is sent on a mission. In fact, this simple definition tells us that every follower of Jesus Christ is expected to be a missionary because Jesus has sent us to the world to be his witness, to tell others about Jesus, and to bring people to God's presence. The very first missionary, actually, is God himself. We just read from Genesis chapter 3, when Eve and Adam, they disobeyed God and listened to the talk of the snake, the Satan. They sinned against God. It is God who came to the Garden of Eden and called them, "Where are you? Where are you?" That's the first missionary call. Of course, God didn't stop right there. We know down through the centuries, even after God prepared the clothing for them and helped them to go outside of the Garden of Eden, but people, or during those centuries, people continue to rebel against God. They decide they are just like God. So in Genesis chapter 10, it tells us that people wanted to build a tower, the Tower of Babel. And God felt crazy people. So at that time, God dispersed the people and changed their language. That's why we have these English, German, Greek, Chinese, whatever. We cannot talk with one another anymore. But God is not through saying that these people, I don't want. The next chapter, chapter 12 in Genesis, God started a new nation through Abraham. So let's read these few verses. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." God's intention is to choose another family, start another beginning again, and wishing that through Abraham's family and his descendants, his blessing will reach out to all the people. God's intention is to bless all the people through Abraham and his descendants. Today, we are going to look at a psalm which we usually neglect. And usually we seldom read that. That's Psalm 67. Even though we seldom read this psalm, but this psalm provides us some hint, some clue to God's mission for all the people. But before reading that psalm, I'm going to mention a few things about this psalm. Psalm 67 can be analyzed like this. There are seven verses. Verse 1 in Hebrews, not in Chinese, not in English, has seven words. Verse 2, six words. Verse 3, six words. Verse 4, 11 words. Verse 5, 6. Verse 6, 6. Verse 7, 7. And from this chart, you can simply realize that there's a symmetry in these verses, in even the number of words in those verses. And as we are going to read, we have to mention first that in verse 2, verse 1 and 7 contains the parallel thought. Verse 2 and 6, again, contains the parallel thought. Verse 3 and 5 are exactly the same. So that comes to verse 4, which is the center of this psalm. This kind of structure in the Hebrew literature is called chiasm. And the form means that the psalmist has created such a psalm, so his emphasis is right in the middle of that psalm. So let's read this psalm together. Okay? If you can, I don't know whether you can. You can read it from here. For me, it's a little bit hard to read over there. But let's read it in NIV. Let's read together. Let's start. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and the same for joy, for your rule and people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you. Number five, may the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all ends of the earth will fear him. I'm going to put this in one slide so that you can have all at once glance over the whole chapter. The psalmist used a few words to remind us, to remind Israel at that time that he had blessed them so that they could in turn bless the surrounding nations. The word earth in verse 2, a word that refers both to the entire physical world as well as the peoples that inhabit it. And the word nations refers to both Hebrews and non-Hebrews. In verse 3, peoples, verse 3 and 5, that's a general word referring to all the people. All the people, Hebrews and non-Hebrews. In verse 7, the purpose of God's blessing on his people so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Then we see nations, peoples, earth in verse 4, which is the focus of this psalm. Israelites were to bless others with the knowledge of God's way and his saving power. This is God's ultimate desire for all the people on the earth, that they may be glad and sing joy as they experience God's ruling in their lives. A rule that is just, that is plenty, that is righteous, so that people can enjoy his ruling, enjoy in his presence. Yes, God's plan is for missions, because from the very start, God comes down to look for people. Where are you? And through generations, he again, through the psalmist, says, my intention is to bring all the people in my presence so that they can enjoy my rule and fear me. This fear is not trembling, but have a right relationship with God. God's plan for mission is to bless the people. It is also interesting that the opening verses right here is, my God, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. We are familiar with the Moses' benediction to the Israelite people, which is recorded in Numbers chapter 6. But when we read this one and look at that particular section of the number, we know that there are some differences. Let's read this number, or this number 6, 24 to 26 verse. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We notice that in this one, there's a slight difference even in English. In this song, in this Numbers, the word the Lord is used. And in Psalm 67, the word God is used. But we cannot see anything different other than this Lord and the God. But in Hebrew text, in Numbers, the Lord is being translated from the word Yahweh or Jehovah. And usually in all the English translations, it says the Lord. Whereas in Psalm 67, the Lord God was translated from the word Elohim. These two words, Yahweh and Elohim, means different things. Because the word Yahweh is a covenant name between God and the Israelites. And Elohim is the word indicating this is the universal utmost God for all the universe, for all the people. So the difference can tell us that in Psalm 67, God's intention is for all the people, so that all the people can know Him as Elohim. Whereas in Numbers, Moses wants the Israelites to remember, this God is our God. You see, there are some minor differences, but this minor difference somehow portrayed or perpetuated. So, from generation to generation, that Elohim, the Lord of the whole universe, somehow was forgotten. And they remember the word Yahweh, the Lord is our God. That's Israelites. Israelites think, this God is our God. You have no part in it. The blessing is for us only, not for you, sorry, the foreigners, the Gentiles. Of course, that's not God's intention, but it turned out to be the mindset of the Israelites. So, in this Psalm 67, we are somehow sensing that the psalmist wants to bring this idea that God is the whole universe, the God of whole universe, the God of all the peoples, the God of whole and all nations. From Genesis chapter 12, where God had a covenant with Abraham, down to Psalm 67. It's about 1,000 years. Through 1,000 years, God's mind didn't change, even though He chose the people of Israel to bring His best blessing to all the nations. But Israelites forgot about this. So down through the Bible, we can see that God's intention is to bring all the people to God. If we read the book of prophets, in many places, God says, let the foreigners, let the Gentiles come to my presence, to my temple. But Israelites forgot about this. When they read this, somehow they couldn't understand, or they didn't want to read those kind of things. They think, God is our God only. And we praise the blessing from God to us. Of course, the praying and the asking blessing from God is not new. We all understand. When we eat, we say the grace. We thank Lord for providing blessing, food to us. We pray for His blessing to our work, to our family, to our surroundings, to us. We all pray that kind of prayer. But God's intention is not this. Yes, you can pray God's blessing, but remember, God's blessing to us, to Israelites, is for the purpose of bringing this blessing to other nations, to the foreigners, to Gentiles. God's intention through the years has not changed. His intention is still, He wants to bless His people. In the ancient time, Israelites. In the present time, the church, the Christians. But not stop at the Israelites or at us Christians. He wants us, He wants the Israelites, receiving the blessing and pass it on to other people, to foreign Gentiles, or foreigners. And sometimes we even forgot. We think God is our God. Our God is great. Yes, great. But have we thought about if this God is so great, we have a responsibility to bring this God to outside people? When God called Abraham to be his people, his chosen people, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. This righteousness does not mean that he is a just person, he is a perfect person, but this means because of his faith, Abraham and God has the right relationship. Right relationship is part of the meaning of this righteousness. Of course, down through generations to our time, Martin Luther says that we can come to God just by faith. Yes, faith made us righteous. That means faith can bring us to God. Only faith. It was, and it is, and it will be always the only way to have peace with God. Through faith. So our responsibility, of course, from reading the Bible, is that God wants us to bring this righteousness or bring the right relationship with God to outside people, to other people, to all the nations. That's what mission is. So let's look at a few other places. In New Testament, of course, we all remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, we have to wait for the Holy Spirit so we can be his witness from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and down through the end of the earth. This is God's intention. From the ancient time up to this New Testament church time, it's always the same. So let's read something else. In Matthew chapter 28, of course, we remember the Great Commission. Is that you go and teach people my salvation so they can be baptized into God's house and teach them all I taught you already, and I'll be with you to the ends of the earth. This is God's intention. The blessing is not just for Christian alone. Of course, if you want to get real God's blessing, it's not just food, it's not just safety, it is not just blessings or prosperities, but the right relationship with God. That's God's intention. That's God's blessing. Because without this relationship, our eternity will be in darkness. Well, this is through all the Bible, from Genesis down to actually Revelation. There is a God's intention. He wants to bring all the people to his presence because people have left God. They forgot about God. They don't want God. And their ending, their eternity is miserable, is in darkness. So let's see something else. This is a simple message for the morning. But at the this point, since Eddie wants me to end at 35, before 35, so I don't have too many time. But I just want to say, through the generations, we have to remember that they were people who were brave, they were faithful, and they go out to the whole world to preach the gospel. Let me just come to the very end of this. There's a great missionary, one of the greatest. His name is Hudson Taylor, James Hudson Taylor. And we all know his family. I've listed his five generations from James Hudson Taylor down to Herbert Hudson Taylor, to James Hudson Taylor second, to James Hudson Taylor the third. Now we have James Hudson Taylor the forth with us, not today. But this family is a wonderful family. They follow God's leading, and he went out. The first Hudson, James Hudson Taylor came to China in 1853 and stayed in China for 51 years and died in China. And his offsprings, down to the fifth generation, are still following his own steps. That's a wonderful family because they follow God's leading and commit their whole life. This is a true missionary family. A couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity to listen to James Hudson Taylor IV. In Chinese, that's Dai Ji Zong. We heard him preaching. And he told us that his father, when he was dying in 2009, the fourth, James IV, was with him. And when he saw his father is so weak and dying, a thought came to him, a question came to him. The question was, if you want to use one sentence to introduce your father to other people, how would you say it? That's the answer. And at first, James IV thought, I couldn't do that. Because my father was in China. He was born in China. He died in Hong Kong. He was all the time in China. He did many, many things, great things. How can I use one sentence to describe my father? But afterward, a few minutes later, he came to a sentence. He said, if I want to use one sentence to describe my father, I would say, my father lived to make a difference. It's a simple sentence, but it tells a lot of things. But of course, this is not just unique for James IV or the third. This is James IV on your right. The left is James IV, the third. If we go through the history of missions, we saw there were many, many people who lived to make a difference. In fact, if it's not those people, we probably would be still in dark. We probably would not become a Christian. It is because some people who did it, who follow Jesus Christ and his life or their lives made a difference to many, many places. I have to cut my preaching short. But I want to end in this way. The question we are asking you and us together is not how you introduce other people using one sentence, but we should ask ourselves, have I lived to make a difference? Well, many of you said, of course, I did so many things. My business was thriving, my family is doing well, I have a big house, whatever. I made a difference to my family, to my company, to my nation. But the real question is not whether you have made a difference to your company, your family. Have you lived to make a difference in God's kingdom? That's the question we ultimately have to face. It is difficult. And some of you would say, oh, not for me. This is not for me. This is for something like Pastor Eddie, Pastor Chu, or Pastor Richard. Not for me. But we are not asking you and even us to say that we have to go out to live like James Taylor the third or even the fourth. We have to live to make a difference in where we are. Maybe it's just family, in the household, Maybe it's in our workplace, in where we live. I remember 15 or no, 20 years ago, we came to Contra Costa Gospel Church, CCGC. At that time, I said there are many C's in the abbreviation, but there's no Chinese in these CCC. But other places you go, you find Chinese. But in this church, we don't have any Chinese. I mean the term, the name. But I felt that God called us to this church. It is not our choice to come to this church. And this church has great influence in our lifetime, in our history. If we have not come to this church, we probably would not make it to the land of Finland, to the country of Finland, to do short missions, which we participated. We went to Finland almost every year when I was pastor here. And if we have not gone to Finland, or if we have not come to this church, I probably would not end up in Vienna or in Athens. So coming to this church has made a great influence in our family, in our personal history, in our past and the present. I would say, you are in this church today. You think because this place is a nice bedroom community, you want to live in this community. And probably you say, in this community, I want to go to Contra Costa Gospel Church because this is a nice church with a church-shaped building, with nice staff here, with nice people here. I want to enjoy worshiping the Lord here. We are thinking we make the decision. But it is not us. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, we went down to Southern California. We went to worship in Saddleback Church. And we all know that Saddleback was started by Rick Warren. But they have 100 pastor staff in their staff. And they have two and a half. Two and a half means one is not always doing his job. He's caring for something else, for young people. But they have 2.5 teaching pastor. The first one, of course, is Rick Warren. And the second one is called Buddy Owen. So when we went to that church, and he told us a story of his own. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But in essence, he said, many a times in my life, God has sent a bird in front of me, or I saw a bird of some kind, and which reminds me that don't worry about anything, because if God feeds a sparrow, you are much precious, more precious than a bird, a sparrow. So God will take care of you. And once, that was about 11 years ago, he was with a Christian music company. But all of a sudden, out of nothing, of course, he was not doing the finance part of the company, and the CEO told him, now, in 3 months, you have to leave this company. We have to reorganize. We have to cut down. We have to shrink. We have to reorganize. At that time, he said, we just began our remodeling in our own house. And the house, most of the house, the part of the house, had been torn down, was in a mess. They only have one room to stay, just to go through this period. And all of a sudden, he said, I heard from my CEO that I have to leave the company. Where am I going? What happened to my house? So he thought he was desperate. So he began to pray, Lord, I'm desperate. I don't know what to do. Please send another bird to me so I can be reassured knowing that you care for me. I want to make it short. The next day, his neighbor across the street, Nate, says, please come to my house. He didn't know what's going on, so he went along with Nate to his house across the street. And his friend Nate said, stay in the living room. His living room actually facing his backyard. So Nate went to the backyard and brought a small can of nut and took a peanut or something in his palm and started to stand there, started to make some noise. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. So Buddy says, I don't know what's going on, what he's playing. But he said, wait for a few minutes. About 5 minutes later, a blue jay flew down out of nowhere and landed on that thumb and looked at the face of Buddy and then took that piece of nut and flew up to the tree. So his friend Ned looked at Buddy inside the living room, said, see, that's what I want you to see. And he started again, putting another nut in his hand and says, no, he started to make that funny noise again. For another few minutes, this bird came down again to his thumb and did the same thing, look at the face of Nate, and then took the peanut away. He did the third time. After the third time, Nate said, would you come out? So he came out. He said, now, you do it. I do it? I don't know this bird. But anyway, he took the peanut in his hand, and Nate stood behind him, making the same noise. It was a longer time. It was a longer time. And Buddy said, I almost want to give up. But Nate says, wait for another few minutes. Lo and behold, another few minutes later, all of a sudden, this blue jay flew right into his face and landed in Buddy's hand. And he looked at Buddy's face for a long time and then took the peanut away. Now, Buddy said, I realized God has sent a bird to me again. If God can take care of a bird, of course he's going to take care of me. But that's not the ending. That's so simple. He said, after this, Nate said, let's go home. Let's come inside the living room. And Nate asked him, do you know how long I've been playing this to train this blue jay to fly down? He said, I don't know. Nate said, 1 year and a half. Every day I tried this. Every day I came out to the yard and put this in my hand and make noises. Finally, I succeeded. And he said, recently I did succeed. At that point, Buddy says, I realized more than just a bird. He realized God has prepared this scene, this particular act, 1.5 years ago. Brothers and sisters, he did not know what happened at 1.5 years ago. He was in prosperity. He was popular. He was doing well. But God had planned something for when he was in distress. God would bring this bird into his hand. Brothers and sisters, we probably don't know why we are here. But I tell you, God has a plan. Long before you moved to this community, God had a plan. Long before I decided to come to this church, you don't know, I don't know, but God knows. The only thing you need to do is pray and follow His leading. Would you want to commit yourself to God's planning? You don't have to be afraid. God will take care, and He has prepare you long time ago. Let's bow our head. This is the message for today.